Good morning and welcome to our service of Holy Communion at 8 o'clock on Sunday the 30th of August. It's a great day for us as we're preparing for the opening of the church with worship next Sunday, the 6th of September. So today we've got our three online services, and then next week we have the church open at 10 o'clock for public worship. No idea how many people will be coming, but we've got experience from our four weddings and a funeral, so we know how to cope with people when they come into church, and that will be well handled. So we look forward to seeing as many of you as possible next Sunday at 10 o'clock in church, and of course we will still have our online services. And beyond that, we're again looking forward very much to our rector, Susie Williams, joining us again on the 20th of September for our worship on that day. And now we come to our prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. The Collect for the Sovereign. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole Church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our Queen and Governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. The Collect for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you're always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The first reading comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Two are better than one. They receive a good reward for their toil, because if one fails, the other can help his companion up again. But alas for the man who falls alone with no partner to help him up. And if two lie side by side, they keep each other warm. But how can one keep himself warm by himself? If a man is alone, an assailant may overpower him, but two can resist. And a cord of three strands is not quickly snapped. Here endeth the first reading. The second reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They met constantly to hear the apostles teach, and to share the common life, to break bread, and to pray. A sense of awe was everywhere, and many marvels and signs were brought about through the apostles. All whose faith had drawn them together held everything in common. They would sell their property and possessions, and make a general distribution as the need of each required. With one mind, they kept up their daily attendance at their temple, and, breaking bread in private houses, shared their meals with unaffected joy as they praised God and enjoyed the favour of the whole people. And day by day the Lord added to their number those whom he was saving. Here endeth the second reading. We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Well, good morning. When I read that passage from Ecclesiastes, I was reminded of a prayer activity we set up for one of our prayer days at St. Margaret's some years ago. We were to take three strands of wool, to think of one as representing ourselves, one representing someone else, maybe someone we struggled to get on with, and one representing God. And as we braided them together, we prayed for our relationship with that person to grow and to strengthen. We prayed that God would bind us together. I think it's a great illustration. It's what was referred to in that reading from Ecclesiastes that we just heard. Do you remember the bit about the cord with three strands? That reference came at the end of the reading. The first few verses referred to the fact that two are better than one. That if two people work together, the work gets done better and faster. That when they fall, they can help one another up. That if two lie down together, they can keep each other warm. All very recognisable and practical examples that are easy to relate to. And then that lovely phrase, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This passage is often used at wedding services, and it's easy to see why, isn't it? As two people come together in marriage, they become stronger. They're able to work together as one, to help one another when times are tough, to keep one another warm, to comfort one another. This passage is often chosen as one of the readings and preached on, with the preacher illustrating how much stronger the marriage is with God, the third strand, woven into it. That if God is at the heart of the relationship and at the heart of the marriage, it will be so much richer and stronger. I love the illustration, and I love that it's used at weddings. It's such a firm basis for a married relationship. But actually, it's so much bigger than that, isn't it? This passage in Ecclesiastes isn't just referring to marriage or to a loving relationship between two people. It's referring to all relationships. You only have to read as far as the second chapter in the Bible to come across the statement from God in Genesis 2. The Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." In the creation story, God fashions man in his own image. And then because he knows that the man will not flourish and thrive alone without companionship and support, he creates a companion, a co-worker, a helper, a partner. Human beings are created to be in relationship with one another and with God. And when the relationships break down, that's when we get into trouble. We see that in all walks of life, from our very earliest relationships with parents and siblings, our childhood friendships, to the way that we work together and relate to one another in adulthood. So what does this passage actually tell us about relationships? Well, it begins with a statement, two are better than one. We flourish and thrive when we're in relationship with other people. That's why one of the Holy Habit studies is all about fellowship. It's important. It helps us to live life in all its fullness. We've seen that over the past few weeks, haven't we? We've seen it in our sermons, in our life group studies together. We've seen it in our society as we've been attempting to cope with lockdown and isolation in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. It's hard to self-isolate, and it's not very nice. I had the joy of becoming a grandmother quite early on into our period of lockdown, and wonderful as it was to see pictures of Isla with her mum and dad, all I actually wanted to do was to hold her, to touch her and to be with her. She was still my granddaughter, I was still her grandmother, but I felt a real need to have actual contact with her, and it hurt that I couldn't. When she was about 14 weeks old and families were allowed to form bubbles, we were able to finally go over and to cuddle her. I'm not ashamed to say I got very tearful. It was special. And I still marvel at being able to see and hear her and to have contact with her. And you know, it's not just me. Most of us, if not all of us, have a need to be with other people that we love. I know many of us have despaired at the scenes we've seen of crowds of people gathering in defiance of the guidelines and the rules around social distancing. But in many ways, it's not surprising. As human beings, we do seem to need to be with each other, to the point where we have seen people behaving in ways that endanger themselves and others in order just to meet up and have contact with other people and to feel normal. Those of us who've not done that have become very creative in ways of still keeping contact when we can't physically be together. Look at how many people now use Zoom or FaceTime or the many other ways of meeting virtually. I really, really look forward to our Sunday morning Zoom coffee between the services so I can see people that I know and love and talk to them. Human beings need relationships. I don't know if you remember the MP, Joe Cox, who was so tragically murdered in 2016. Soon after becoming an MP, Joe set up a cross-party loneliness commission with her colleague and fellow MP Seema Kennedy. Joe's vision was that the commission would run for a year and work with charities, businesses and the government to boost public understanding and policy response to the loneliness crisis. The commission met and listened to people who were lonely, older people, young people, employers and their employees, children and new parents, people with disabilities, refugees and carers. Loneliness has always been a problem, but perhaps especially so today. According to the Commission's report, there are 9 million people in the UK who always or mostly feel lonely. That came out before the current COVID-19 crisis. And if there's one good thing that is coming out of our current situation, it does seem to be a growing awareness of how much we do need each other, a growing desire to reform and to create communities. I really hope the experience we've had during 2020 will help us to focus more on fellowship and community as we gradually come back from this crisis to the new normal that we talk about. Because if there's one thing I've learned from this pandemic, it's that we're all in this together. We are all part of humanity and we are all affected. We're all in this together. We are all part of the body of Christ. People often ask, why do I need to go to church to be a Christian? Why do I need to be part of a life group or a small group? I can take care of myself. And that may very well be true. We can, of course, come to Christ and be a child of God all by ourselves. However, I do believe that being by myself does not completely fulfil God's will and purpose for my life. According to Scripture, we need each other. And actually, if I had to select one verse of Scripture to capture that message, it may well be the one that we've heard read just now. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Apparently, any rope maker will tell you that the strongest rope is a threefold rope. I don't have a rope handy, but I've got this coloured twine, which is the same principle. It's made up of three parts. If you take one away and leave only two, obviously the rope will be weakened. But if you add an extra strand and make four, apparently you're not adding to the strength of the rope because the strands no longer all touch one another. It seems that a three-stranded rope is stronger than a rope with two, four, or five strands. Because with three strands, each part is constantly touching the other two, and it forms the strongest and tightest bond possible. And because the strands not only touch but are twisted and interwoven with one another, if one or even two of the strands start to weaken and fray, as long as the third strand holds, the rope will not break. It would have to be broken up and disentangled in multiple places before that weaker strand could truly and completely get free of the other cords that it's been woven into. And I think that's why in so many illustrations and prayer activities, we think of one strand as representing us, one as representing another person, one representing God. When those strands are interwoven, even if one or two of the strands do become frayed or broken, the cord remains intact as long as the third strand doesn't break. And we can see this in our relationships, can't we? Even when we fall short or fray or weaken, if God, the third strand, holds fast, it gives time for the others to be mended. That's how God works in our relationships. During those hard times when one or even both of us are at breaking point, he can hold us together and give us time to heal, because God is the strand that can't be broken. Now, as with all illustrations, this falls very short of being able to adequately express how God is and how he works. We think of the three strands as equal, and of course, when it's wool, they are pretty much equal. Any one of them could break or fray and be held together by the others. But when we start to think of God as the unbreakable strand that can withstand all the pressures that we can't, we begin to get a bit closer to an understanding of how this can work, which is great news. But you know what? There is even better news. Because if we look back at the last few weeks of our study of the holy habit of fellowship, we've been reminded again and again that God works in and through us by his Holy Spirit. That the things that we struggle to do on our own, we can do through the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. And that changes the whole scenario. Because even if I were to see the pink strand as me and the white strand as another person and the red strand as God, I know I don't just have to rely on my knowledge that this red strand is here to hold the pink and the white together. I know that God is in the red strand. He's God. But that actually, if I ask him to, then God, in and by his Holy Spirit, is working in me, in this pink strand. God, by his Holy Spirit, is working in my friend or my husband or my colleague in this white strand. And just as when three strands are bound together, they become immeasurably stronger than one single strand, when God is actually in all those three strands, that can only be multiplied 100-fold. So however weak I may be, I have God's strength and power and love in me, binding me to others and to him. All I have to do is let him in. All I have to do is seek to become closer to God and closer to other people. I just have to love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my mind and with all my strength, and love my neighbour as myself. God will do the rest. So that's my prayer for myself and for all of us as we look back at this holy habit of fellowship. Lord, help us to live out our lives and our relationships in this way. Our relationships outside church and our relationships within our church body. Help us to know that we may well have times when we weaken, we may well have times when we fray and are ready to snap, but that when our lives are bound in and by you, we are part of a cord that shall never be broken. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We come to our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications, and to give thanks for all, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we just take a moment to bring before God those people whom we would especially commend him this morning. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. We say our confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and it institutes, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries for the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour, thy goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs, through hope, of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And we give glory to God together. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And so may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love. Be with you today, and remain with you always. Amen.